He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? With that said, let's get back to the Lakers as they currently exist. And the reports from practice today were mixed, right? We got, very importantly, we got an update from J.J. Redick that Marcus Smart was actually able to participate in most of their practice today, including 5-on-5. And according to Redick, he looked, awesome is what word he used for Marcus Smart here. Let's see. Where is he? Awesome was the word, according to Mike Trudell, that J.J. Redick used when describing how Marcus Smart looked in his first full practice, or at least close to full practice that he has had so far as a Laker. So that was great. Saw that first because my timeline was kind of jumbled with people retweeting and quote tweeting and stuff like that. Then we got more details. And in those more details, we come to find out that Luka did not participate in team-wide drills today. LeBron, this is after, by the way, Shams Charania reported. And I believe Billy Mack accidentally let this slip during a broadcast that LeBron isn't going to play in any of the preseason. Should have taken that a little bit more seriously, but that was echoed, and it turns out that, yeah, LeBron isn't going to play in any of the preseason games. That's a bummer. Again, like I said, Luka didn't participate in full practice today, and I feel like there was another player who... Maxi Kleba didn't participate. That one kind of makes sense because Maxi's kind of dinged up or whatever. I I'm not expecting very much from Maxi Kleba this year. Although Jovan did add this, I'll have to find the video, I guess. Listening back, JJ added under his breath, "I'm being sarcastic." So it's unclear if Doncic is actually dealing with anything or the Lakers are just being cautious with him in the preseason. I feel like if Luka was dealing with something, we would have heard of it by now, because, you know, that would very, very much change the outlook of this season. The fact that the Lakers are once again here, you know, they didn't practice yesterday. They seem to have a pretty, in terms of participation, seem to have a pretty light part, you know, practice today. And you know, with LeBron, they're being cautious. With Luka, they're being cautious. With Austin, he didn't play the second game out of an abundance of caution. And like, it really seems like the only priority that seems to really matter here to the Lakers is getting healthy and staying healthy. Which I get it. That's it you know, makes some sense. But here's the thing. I'm the kind of dad who doesn't let his kids win at stuff. And the reason for it is because when they go out and they play against other kids and they compete against other kids for stuff, for anything, those kids, their competitors, are not going to let them win. And so for me, I would rather introduce them to real competition as quickly as possible. Now, I will play somewhat easy and I won't embarrass them or anything. I still want them to want to play the sport, but I just don't think kids get anything from mom or dad, you know, going so easy on them that they win at stuff and get an unrealistic outlook of what competition, how competition is going to go. And the reason I'm using this analogy is because, like, with the way that the Lakers are approaching preseason here, it's like, well, we're going to, you know, ease them into training camp super duper easy. And that way they'll get to the beginning of the season healthy and rested and all these things. And it's like, okay, fine. But they aren't actually going to be prepared for the regular season, because the regular season, it's arduous. The teams that you're playing against have actually prepared during their training camp and their preseason for the season. They are going to be more organized because they've gotten more reps with each other than the Lakers have or will throughout this training camp. So yeah, the Lakers are going to be super duper rested, but they're also going to be super duper behind. And again, this is coming off of a season where the number one thing that JJ Redick kept talking about in looking back on the season was how difficult it was to add things on the fly after adding Luka Doncic in the middle of the season. Well, okay, here you have an opportunity while you're not on the fly. Your plane is not flying around right now. You can actually work on this grounded plane. You can actually work on this parked vehicle. And, you know, passing up on that opportunity, one, seems like not the wisest thing. But two, it also kind of flies in the face of all of the stuff that we were told during training camp, which once you let, like, you know, during, not during training camp, but media day and in the run up to it, right, about how the Lakers, they want to be the most conditioned team. They want to get as many reps in so that they, you know, can hit the ground running, yada, yada, yada. Once you let anything become a mere talking point, this is why I probably overreacted on Twitter to Friday's game, because I was like, wait, you guys told me that you guys were going to be flying around out there, and I'm seeing a lot of walking. So, like, once you let anything become an idle talking point, everything can be an idle talking point until you get back to the habit of following up on the things that you stress, either externally or internally. So, like, you could tell us to your blue in the face, yeah, we're super duper serious. We're, you know, we're really looking to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, okay, that's cool that you're telling us this, but, like, here's what you're doing. You know, and again, I get back to winning habits, a culture of competition, a culture of giving a bleep, no matter what the circumstance. The Lakers aren't talented enough. Like, when the Lakers used to, when they were in the three, in the middle of the three-peat, right, that team used to drive everybody nuts because they knew that they could just flip a light switch and beat anybody. Not like they could, in the right matchup, maybe win a series here. No, the Lakers could stomp anybody if they play to the best of their ability. There was nothing that any other team could have done against that Lakers team when they had Shaq and when they had Kobe. There was nothing anybody could have done against that team, because when they played to the best of their ability, there was nothing. And that is not the case here. There are going to be games where the Lakers play their actual asses off and they lose to a better team. And if you are not going into every game, or if you're entering the season and you're not the overwhelming talent favorite, then you don't have the luxury of, yeah, you know, we'll just get through training camp. We'll implement what we can. And over the course of the season, we'll do this and that. And no, what are you talking about? So yeah, I, you know, look, we are exactly a week into training camp to this point. And there is actually 2 weeks between now and the Lakers' first official game of the regular season. And that is enough time to play a little bit of catch up. But you have kind of squandered the first week so far. And look, by the way, if LeBron is actually hurt and this glute thing is legit and he can't go, then he can't go. That happens sometimes, right? Especially with 40-year-olds. Like, guys in their 40s are not supposed to be playing professional sports, let alone at the level that LeBron expects to play. So, like, whatever. If you want to be smart with him, you can be smart with him. Or if you want to, if he just literally has to recover, then he literally has to recover. Well, like, come on, man. We're with Luka, he's entering his prime. He played a few games over the summer, weeks ago. He can practice. You know, like, this, Austin Reeves, like, it's also not as if this team is coming off of some crazy playoff run last year. Y'all got your ass kicked in the first round. That's why somebody asked me, like, you know, have you ever seen a great Lakers team be this flippant over the training camp? And I was like, not a team that got embarrassed in the first round. I would kind of understand it if, like, so when the Lakers won in the bubble and then the league resumed like three business days later, it did make sense for the Lakers to prioritize rest and recovery and, you know, regaining whatever health they possibly could, because you had very little time to do anything else. But if you're sitting here a week in a training camp, and the only thing that appears to matter is health and recovery after a really long offseason, then what are we doing? Like, honestly, what are you actually doing? All right, let's go ahead and dive into some of your guys' questions here. We did get a couple of super comments, which means I get to play... Fuck Washington! Always. First question comes from Brandon Omang, right? Go Vikes, go Dodgers. Also, no more Blake Trinan, please, Dave. Roki is a closer. Completely agree on all of those talking points. Why don't we take preseason seriously? That's how we always start off slow. SMH. Well, here's the other thing. One, you look around at the Lakers competition. Nobody is approaching preseason this way. Nobody. I haven't seen a single team or a single report from any other team out there where the team is like, yeah, you know, we're just getting by. We'll just, you know, come along at our own pace and we'll see how we look on opening night. I haven't seen anybody do that. And for the Lakers, it's especially important because the Lakers have a nice light schedule at the beginning of the season. If you have a nice light schedule at the beginning of the season, that means it's going to get heavier down the road. When, guess what? You're less healthy. And if you're going to treat some of those early games as practices, that's fine in theory. But if you drop one of those games early, that means you then, especially to a team that you should be beating, that means you have to then make up for that game later in the year against a team that you maybe would have planned as a loss, right? Or you couldn't just pencil in as a win going into the season. So, like, the Lakers, they can't afford to fuck around, because finding out puts them way behind. And when you're way behind, you have to work harder. And then working, it's what every mom tells their kid. Do it right the first time, then you don't have to undo it, and then do it right a second time. And maybe it's not every mom. My mom had to tell me that a lot. But I would imagine most moms said something to that extent with their kids. And that's how I find myself looking at this training camp so far. It's like, you guys are not doing it right this time. And it's not like you, A, get a whole training camp to retry again mid-season. But you also aren't going to have any kind of an opportunity, and you also aren't going to have that. You aren't going to have anybody as healthy as they are right now. Like, you aren't going to have the collective health that the Lakers have right now. And you aren't going to have the string of practices that the Lakers have right now. This is just, I don't know. I don't want to completely overreact. And I know that I am, you know, susceptible to control trolling, concern trolling, you know, just in general. But man, it just feels like this training camp so far has been a big, giant missed opportunity. And that sucks to sit through, knowing what is coming on the other side. All right, next question, also from Brandon Omang. I don't know about DK. We should have just traded him and Rui to the Heat for Wiggs when we had the chance. Rui doesn't fit the team of Vando. Should start or smart? So, yeah, I made this point in the Lounge Discord today because we were, you know, kind of there was some kind of conversation about the types of players that the Lakers need. And the point that I've kind of landed on and have been kind of kicking myself over, or not kicking myself, kicking stuff over, because I didn't make this decision or these decisions. But when you kind of look at how bereft of assets the Lakers currently find themselves, and also bereft of, you know, or needing another, you know, legit rotation level player, and again, not really necessarily having the means to do that without emptying the cabinet, you arrive there by whiffing on two first round picks in a row, at least right now. We do know that Jalen Huchefino, complete waste of a first round pick. And that pick could have, probably should have, been used on a win-then player, right? And that was the argument that I made at the time. You have LeBron. You have Anthony Davis. They're still pretty damn good. Here's what happened every time you've given them a somewhat reasonable roster. First, you gave them a good roster. They won you a championship. Then you trade Russell Westbrook and you bring in an even okay roster, they get you to the Western Conference Finals. You know, and you could say, well, they got swept by the Denver Nuggets. Like, yeah, that was an okay roster. Right? And so, like, you should have probably used that first round pick, combined it with some other stuff to bring in a win then player. You could have brought Dorian Finney-Smith into your organization years ago. And chose not to because you instead, you know, wanted to see if you can get a cost-controlled player who would be ready for whenever you head into the post-LeBron, post-Anthony Davis era. And it's like, that set of decisions sucked. And you know, rather than, even if that player isn't on the Lakers right now, whoever that wing could have been, even if that player isn't currently on the Lakers, if you're wise, you would have turned that player as an asset into a player that also fits with Luka's timeline. But you can't do that when you squander that pick on a Jalen Huchefino, right? And yeah, like, obviously hindsight is 20/20 here, but I said it at the time. What are you doing drafting players who, like, rookies don't help championship teams? But because the Lakers had kind of given up on LeBron and AD, you find yourself both bereft of talent, the type of talent that they need, and the assets that they need because they whiffed on that pick. And then we're sitting here now with Dalton Connect, and nobody wants, like, nobody's itching to trade for Dalton Connect. Nobody. I think some teams see him as another flyer and they can say, oh, maybe, well, you know, maybe. But I don't think any team is like, oh, please, please take our 3-and-D wing. Please just give us Dalton Connect. That's not how those conversations are going. And again, that Dalton Connect pick could have been used on, like, Dorian Finney-Smith earlier. So you would have had a longer runway with him to convince him to stick around in LA rather than wanting to go back to Texas. You could have traded that first round pick for a Dorian Finney-Smith adjacent player who would currently be helping you right now, or you could have turned into another asset to turn into another player who would be helping you right now. But instead, you have Jalen Huchefino, who I think is, like, in the Philly system somewhere, and Dalton Kincaid, who is on his way to a season where there is no real role that makes much sense for him, unless guys get injured. And then you're hoping that, like, please regain any semblance of the level of play that you had last November, and please don't be a Cam Reddish Memorial November God, right? You can't have that happen again. So, I don't know about DK. I do. I just don't necessarily believe that he's an NBA player. And you know, you should have traded him and Wiggs for Wiggins, or you should have traded him and Rui for Wiggins. I think the Lakers are holding out hope that they can get Wiggins without giving up Rui. That would involve Jared Vanderbilt playing really well this season and thus being able to convince Miami to take on his longer term money. And you send out Vando and expiring and DK and maybe like a second round pick, and you bring back Wiggins, and then you add him to a core, you know, and you move Rui into his kind of more natural, sensible role on this team. And you got, you know, carry forward that way. That I think is what the Lakers are kind of hoping for, even if it isn't Wiggins specifically, but that level of player. I think the Lakers would like to be able to hold on to Rui and then trade for a player and move Rui to the bench. But regardless, yeah, the grander and the more important point here is that, like, when you are trying to build for a championship, you cannot get nothing in return for first round picks in the way that the Lakers have got basically nothing in return for two straight first round picks. Just ask the Warriors how it went when they whiffed on James Wiseman, and I wouldn't say they whiffed on Kuminga, but that's been kind of a disaster. And that whole two timeline thing was sunk because they had a top five pick in Wiseman that they got nothing from. It's hard to recover from that. And they've been trying poorly, but they've been trying. When you whiff on a player to that magnitude or an asset to that magnitude, you're just kind of sort of screwed. All right. Let's see. Jamar Sullivan, I would trade Rui for KCP. I need to see a little bit more from KCP this year. He was pretty bad last year. I know Orlando is kind of tough because they didn't have any of, like, the on-ball creativity that KCP really, really needs. But they were, like, people I've spoken to in Denver were kind of saying, like, he looked a little stiff, and then he got to Orlando and he looked even stiffer. And then now, you know, we got to kind of see what he looks like in Memphis. I, at the very least, like, maybe you could trade for KCP for, you know, lesser assets than that. Maybe you can bring KCP in and not give up Rui. But and look, like, KCP is definitely, you know, I'm told he's on the Lakers' radar. He's somebody that they're going to be keeping an eye on over the course of the year. But I personally would also like to keep my eye on him before we trade away a starter for him. Let's see. Is there any other questions? Okay. I'm pretty sure D3SITO says they are pretty sure OKC is resting their starters. Like I said, teams that go deep into the playoffs, you get a little bit more grace on this. You win a championship, you get a little bit more grace on these things than teams that get their butts kicked in the first round. That's a pretty big difference there. than the situation that we're seeing here with the Lakers, who are like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see who's ready and what, you know, when we might be ready, but, you know, we're sure we'll give it the old college try. Doggy asking, why are the Lakers so political about Reeves? I don't know what that means. I don't, Doggy, I don't know if you want to throw a follow-up there on what you mean by political, but like, I'm guessing this has to do with, you know, the idea that like, the Lakers are only willing to trade for, you know, Reeves for like a star or something like that. Or that like input from the very, very top matters on Reeves. I don't know if you're perceiving that to a greater extent than with other players. Like I would honestly argue relative to talent and impact on the organization. I actually think the more, you know, I guess to use your word, political player in the Lakers organization is probably Rui, where he has some fans way, way, way high up in the organization. And the, you know, the bar to trade Rui Hachimura has been very high, probably higher than it needs to be, and especially higher than it needs to be compared to that bar with Austin Reeves. So take that for kind of what you will. But I so that's kind of what I figured, that they don't like wait. Are you talking about like politics, Paul? Like Dem Republican? Because I don't think it has anything to do with politics, but like the Lakers, like they, and here's the thing, and every team has this to a certain extent where like an owner feels a certain, like just look at the Warriors, right? Joe Lacob feels a certain way about Jonathan Kuminga. Every other person in that organization was ready to get rid of Jonathan Kuminga, but Kuminga winds up signing an extension because the owner is, you know, really, really believes in Kuminga's measurables. And guess what winds up happening? He just so happens to sign his extension. So oftentimes, you know, the notion that, the notion that the Lakers are somehow more political about their players than other organizations, I don't really, you know, there might be some teams that are a little colder, right? The Utah Jazz come to mind because Danny Ainge is an asshole. The Boston Celtics come to mind, right? Because they just rip off Band-Aids. And maybe that's a way to operate. But I would point out that, you know, because of how cold the Celtics have been with their players over the years, when Anthony Davis asked for his trade, his dad said, nope, don't want to go there. They don't treat their guys right. So it's a balance. You know, it's these things are a balance. That's why I've paid really close attention to how the Lakers treat LeBron at the end here, because, you know, LeBron's done a lot for the Lakers. And if the, you know, the last taste left in his mouth is of a Lakers organization that was like, all right, thanks, man, we got Luka now. If that's like how that goes at the end of LeBron's tenure there, and word gets around that the Lakers are becoming a little bit colder, you know, that impacts an organization and a team that is as reliant on free agent acquisition as the Lakers are. So, the what it comes down to with Austin specifically, yes, you know, he also has some fans at the very, very tip top of the organization, but he's also been incredibly productive every year that he's been with them, and he's accepted every role that he has been asked of him. Rui, the way he handles starting versus coming off of the bench, that is not quite consistent. And Rui doesn't have the counting stats that Austin does. Rui has improved, and he deserves a lot of credit for the way that he has improved. And he was very good last year for the Lakers, but Austin is a better basketball player. And it makes some sense that he has some fans very high in the organization to the extent that he does. I find myself scratching my head sometimes at the way that I hear those parties, again, secondhand or whatever, but the way that I hear how those parties talk about Rui. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And look, the fact that there's another example of it or a worse example of it, if you don't think that excuses this one example of it, that's also fair. I do think the Lakers are maybe a little too, they've clung on to their success stories in the Rob Pelinka era, especially development and draft stories and the way that like Austin is, especially. I do think they hold on to their wins a little tight, and aren't as willing as they need to be to acknowledge losses and move on quickly. But yeah, what it comes down to here is this is how this organization is operating for the time being. I am super biased, Anthony. Schmicky's saying I am super biased. I don't know about what. I am definitely biased in dinner options, I guess. But yeah, anywho. I think that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you, everybody. Let's see. Give us your top five targets the Lakers might trade for. No, Doc. All right, both of you guys, Schmidtke and Doggy, I am not against trading Austin Reeves. I am definitely against trading Austin Reeves for the sake of trading Austin Reeves. The way that some people talk about him in my mentions and in the chat here, I do think some people are a little too quick to trade Austin Reeves. I also think that this stance that the Lakers have of only wanting to trade Austin Reeves for a current or impending superstar or all-star or whatever, I think that's also a little I think that's also a little counterproductive. But it's like we found out with D'Lo last year. You could only trade D'Lo once. And when they traded him the one time for Dorian Finney-Smith, and then Dorian Finney-Smith decided he wanted to go back to Houston, and that was also compounded by Rob Pelinka saying some stuff about him on his way out the door. You know, like, yeah, that in hindsight, you maybe would have preferred to trade D'Lo for somebody who would want to stick around a little bit longer. And if the Lakers trade Austin Reeves for some center or something, or if they would have traded Austin over the summer for some center, and then DeAndre Ayton becomes available, you're like, shit, dang it, we should have just signed Ayton and had Austin. So, like, I think it's far more likely they hold on to Austin and see what they can possibly, what they look like with him and with Luka and all this stuff, and then make a decision a quarter of the way through the season. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for hitting that subscribe button in advance. Please hit that subscribe button. Please also hit that like button. And if you guys are listening to this in the morning via podcast, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, because I am a company man. Until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow. And by the way, if you've missed any of this conversation and you want like a bite-sized version of it, the lowdown is on the RSS feed, and it's also here on the YouTube feed as well. So, you know, keep an eye out for those. They air every morning at like 5 or so in the morning, Pacific time.